The book of Exodus, chapter 25, starting at verse number 31. God is speaking to Moses, giving him instructions, and says, "Make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out, base and shaft. Its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms shall be of one piece with it. Six branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on one side and three on the other. Three cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms are to be on one branch, three on the next branch, and the same for all six branches extending from the lampstand. And on the lampstand there are to be four cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms. One bud shall be under the first pair of branches extending from the lampstand, a second bud under the second pair, and a third bud under the third pair. Six branches in all. The buds and branches shall be of one piece with the lampstand hammered out of pure gold. Then make its seven lamps and set them up on it so that they light the space in front of it. Its wick, trimmers, and trays are to be of pure gold. A talent of pure gold is to be used for the lampstand and all these accessories. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." In the tabernacle, it was the only source of light. The tabernacle was surrounded by a curtain, and no one had discovered electricity or gas power generators. So without it, the priests would not have been able to perform their daily duties inside the tabernacle. I'm speaking, of course, of the golden lampstand, or the menorah. It's a huge item made out of pure gold. Some estimate that it weighed close to 75 pounds. That would mean its value would be somewhere in today's dollar figures, that the cost of that piece of furniture in the tabernacle would cost somewhere around $2 million. Now that's true bling bling. The tabernacle was not short on luxury or extravagance. The Lord is worthy of luxury and extravagance. Again, as the tabernacle represented the Lord's presence, it displayed his royalty, his power and his beauty, his richness and his importance. When we go piece by piece, we don't see pieces of furniture held together with duct tape or twine. We don't see pieces of furniture that we bought in a great deal at a garage sale or a secondhand store. We see carefully crafted pieces made out of pure gold. They were items that would last and withstand the bumps and bruises of constantly being on the move. Remember, the tabernacle was a temporary setup that was taken up and set up and taken down several times throughout their journey. Why a lampstand? Well, let's not make it difficult. The tabernacle was dark and it needed light. The light that came from the lampstand would be the only light inside the tent. And while it served as the light source for the tent, it also communicated a very, very powerful truth to the Israelites. You see, the Israelites knew about darkness. The story of Israel's oppression is a story we keep coming back to because it serves as a foundation of Jehovah's enduring legacy. When Israel was in captivity in Egypt, they were in darkness. When God rescued them, he brought them into the light. Hear the words of the psalmist in Psalm 107. Some sat in darkness and in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Do you see that the Israelites knew what it was like to be in darkness? And we're not too far removed from the Israelites' experience, because some of us knows what it's like to be in the deepest of darkest places. Some of us knows what it's about being in gloom. Some of us know what it's about to not know where light is going to come from, because we're stuck in darkness. So the lampstand, while providing light for the priest's daily activities, was also a representation of God's shining his light on a people who had been in darkness for years. How many of you know about that? How many of you know what it's like to walk around stumbling in the dark? How many of you know about living a life consumed by satisfying an appetite for sin? But then there was that day, or that period, or that season where God shined his light in your life. You no longer walked in darkness, but you walked in the light. And to God you gave praise, because you no longer lived in darkness. You live in light. And sometimes we need reminders of where we used to be and where God stepped in and shined his face on us. I thank God for his light, because I don't like what happens in the dark. We get lost in the dark. We stub our pinky toe in the dark. If it gets dark in here, you can't see me, and I'm going to have to show a lot of teeth so you can see me. We get confused in the dark. We get scared in the dark. We can't see well at all in the dark. So church, sometimes we need to just simply thank God for his wonderful light. David wrote this in the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isn't it a blessing to know that we once were lost, but now we're found? We are now saved because of his wonderful light. Our brother Peter wrote this in 1 Peter. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, since you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, as I look out in this audience, I am looking at a collection of priests. As I look out into this audience, I realize that I'm in the presence of royalty. I'm looking at a collection of saints. I am looking at individuals who belong to God and are his prized possession. I'm looking at some people who used to be in darkness, but came to God's wonderful light. We are the people of God, and in the richness of his mercy, he has enlightened our world. The earth was void and dark until God declared, "Let there be light." And our worlds were dark, void of life, until God shined his light on us through Jesus. And Jesus has become the golden lampstand, a royal king, a high priest, and a precious savior, a light that shines bright. He's a light that never goes out. His light burns continually and radiantly. In the Gospel of John, in that great prologue, in the beginning of that gospel, the author of that great gospel writes this: in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Nearly 2,000 years after Jesus walked upon this earth, we gather together often as ones who have been given light through Jesus. He has been the one that has given us some clarity. He is the one that helps us with our fears. He is the one that exposes the dark areas in our lives. Jesus is that golden lampstand. And he declared himself that he was and is the true light. When he said this in the Gospel of John, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world. And many in here, in this room, have believed that. You've declared that to be your truth, and you live in that truth.
Hey, Carl. How you doing, my man? You come here for a second? Could I borrow you? You grab one of those candles for me. When did you come to the light? 1965. How did it happen? Came to the light. All right, cool. Why don't you go ahead and come to the center light? That center light's been burning ever since we started this morning. That's Jesus. He's the light of the world. So go ahead and light your candle. Cool. Joy, come here for a second. Why don't you grab that candle down there? When did you come to the light?
True light was when God gave me direction and told me who I was and gave me purpose.
Well, you know when that was? Or could you pinpoint a time?
Probably right after graduation of college.
Cool. Go ahead and light your light. You can go ahead and have a seat if you want to. Let's see. Conrad Warwicka, Jersey boy. Would you grab one of those candles for me? When did you come to the light?
1988, Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday, 1988.
Right here.
Let's see, 1988, and the Super Bowl was San Francisco and somebody.
I don't remember who it was.
You came to the light. All right, Dave. That's what I can't preach it any better than that. Go ahead and light your lamp. Eric, what's up, man? Come here, bro. Eric, and if you can't see me, remind me to show some teeth. When did you come to the light?
Like baptized?
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, it was here, wasn't it? I remember that day.
Yeah.
What was going through your head when you stepped forward? Why don't you go ahead and take a candle and light your candle from that candle. I know some of y'all saying, please don't pick me, please don't pick me. What's your name?
Hi.
Yeah.
Amber.
Amber?
Yeah.
You child of God?
Yeah.
Well, come. That's right, Walt Lake. You come in here, he gonna pick on you. Amber is your name?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. I'm Dion.
Nice to meet
How you
too.
Doing?
I'm good.
Cool. When did you come to the light?
2 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
At Michigan Christian Youth Camp.
Oh, yeah? That's a cool camp. Mm-hmm. It's really like more like a resort, but yeah. We'll call it a camp, yeah. So did you get baptized in like the lake there?
Yeah.
So, oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Go ahead. Why don't you go ahead and light your lamp. Let's see. We're coming back. Miss Wanda, yeah. Come hither. When did you come to the light?
You all await this answer, don't you? When I was 13.
13. In what state? Was it California or Ohio? Ohio. Ohio, yeah. And do you remember that, like what was going through your mind, your heart?
I do, because I was in the inside, and they were singing Only a Step, and there was not anything that could have stopped me. Nothing could have stopped this girl. First word out.
Wow, cool. Why don't you go ahead and light your candle? I wish we had the time to do that all throughout this auditorium, because I think it's important for us to share our narratives and share our stories. Some of us might find that we've had similar instances, you know. Maybe when I came to the light, they were singing the same song that they were singing when you came to the light, or maybe the same issues that you were dealing with when you came to the light, the same issues I was dealing with when I came to the light. Maybe there's some similarities there that God is hoping that we can come together and share that and build upon that. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And these individuals represent just a sampling of those who have come to the light. While typically we're pessimistic about the idea of light and darkness in the world, you know, constantly we're always saying that the world is getting darker and darker. I like to be a little more optimistic, because I feel that every time someone comes to the light, the world is getting brighter and brighter. But there's something else that it just happens when we come to Jesus. And it's a possibility that can happen to all of us. You see, Carl here, something could happen to where he gets caught up in say an addiction, or gets caught up in something that just kind of takes him away. And you know how we sing that song, don't let Satan it out, but it happens where Satan comes in. It happens sometimes with young folks that they go through circumstances and maybe they're in a family where their parents get divorced and it just wrecks their faith and they just walk away from God. This is more of a reality than sometimes we want to admit, that our family relationships is just blowing out the candles of our kids. Maybe it is that just stuck in confusion. You're stuck in just, I don't know how to make sense of my life. I don't know how to make sense of where I'm at in life. You know, I'm 45 years old. You're 45, right? I'm 45 years old and I just don't know where to go. I thought I would be here, but I'm not there. And somehow that flame just goes out. Or maybe you have another young kid, and it's not that this just happens to young people, but they get caught up in the wrong crowd, get caught up in the wrong circumstances. You know, maybe they end up in prison. Maybe they end up worse off. Maybe they end up like the young man on the end there, addicted to something, and Satan goes ahead and just blows it out. It happens. It could happen. that people get so consumed in careers, so consumed in achieving the American dream, the American goal, and they're so consumed in that. And meanwhile, everything around them just begins to crumble and fail around them, and it wanes on them, and eventually their faith goes right with it. Or maybe it is that instead of focusing your energy and building a relationship with God, that you put all your energy trying to build a relationship with other people or that special sweetie, and it consumes you and it just takes you away and it just goes out. It happens. And at some point or another, I would suspect that many of us in here represented, there's a period in our life where this was representative of us, where our candle was just out. But take a look. Whose candle didn't go out? Look whose candle was still burning bright. It may be a simple teaching, but it's an important teaching. Jesus' light never goes out. So it happens that maybe your light goes out. But again, it may be a simple teaching, simple encouragement. Just know that his light never goes out. Just come back to the light. 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 It may be a fortunate situation where individuals understand the truth that they need to come back to that light. But as we close, I don't want y'all to miss this. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. Now remember, Jesus already says, I am the light of the world. Didn't Jesus say that? Look at what he says in Matthew, talking to his disciples. He says, you are the light of the world. Conrad, man, you're two steps ahead of me, brother. You're two steps ahead of me, brother. Sometimes we might need to be that light to ignite that other person's light. Eric, go ahead and light your brother's light, man. He needs you. He needs you. See, I like to be optimistic and not pessimistic. I think the world is getting brighter. And I think the world will get brighter when we first understand that Jesus' light never goes out. And we understand that Jesus put us on equal footing with him. He says, I am the light of the world. And guess what? You are too. The golden lampstand was a way to display God's presence in the midst of Israel. Jesus is our golden lampstand as a way of saying that he is present among us. And we too are a lampstand in this world, to let this world know that no matter how many wars we have, no matter how many fights we have, no matter how many killings we have, no matter how many people we have going to jail, no matter how much chaos we have in this world, God's presence is always here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for being a blessing and being present in our life. We thank you so much for the tabernacle of old, which continues to remind us that you are present in so many ways. God, we don't like the dark. And so we pray for your light to shine in our lives where there is darkness, where there is gloom, where there is fear, where there is confusion, where there is doubt, where there is hurt, where there is disappointment, where there is sin. Father, we pray that you would lead us to the light. And Father, for our brothers and sisters whose lights have gone out, we pray that we might be a light to them. God, we need you. We need you to shine in our lives. We are grateful for you being intentional and being a light in this world. And Father, I just pray that your disciples, as your followers, as committed believers in you, that we would be bright, shining lights wherever we go. Father, overcome this place now with your Holy Spirit, and may we walk in the truth of your blessing and your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's a way that the church cannot catch on fire by my... if there's a way that the church can be a blessing to you and minister to you, if your light need some extra oil to keep it burning, if there's a way that we can reignite or relight your flame through prayer, through support, through conversation, we would love to minister to you in that way. If you are not a believer or Christian and you would like to talk about becoming a believer or a Christian, we will minister to you in that way. If you've had that conversation, you've had that dialogue, if you are ready to make that step and make a public profession of faith, and perhaps be baptized into Jesus Christ, we can also minister to you in that regard. So as we sing the song, Light the Fire, if we can help you, if we can minister to you, if we can direct you to the light of the world, Jesus Christ, please allow us to do that. Let's stand and let's sing.